didn't start a business just to keep the lights on. You're here to sell more today than yesterday. You're here to win. Lucky for you, Shopify built the best converting checkout on the planet. Like the just one tapping, ridiculously fast acting, sky-high sales stacking champion of checkouts. That's the good stuff right there. So if your business is in it to win it, win with Shopify. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/win.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 10th day of April 2026. And tonight, folks, you know, he's taken the Friday night challenge again, fearlessly. The mighty Andrew as our producer. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Pastor and everyone.
You're there. You're not going to back down tonight, are you?
Oh, absolutely not.
There you go. He's ready to face the darkness. And he's a man of indubitable character. A man of many, many talents whose fame reaches far beyond this radio broadcast. None other than Big John McTernan.
Well, Pastor Ernie, thank you for those accolades. I appreciate it. Keep them coming. And God bless you and all our listeners. May this be a great show.
Amen. I wanted to take a quick mention, too, for just a couple of very special ladies who have gone home to be with the Lord. But in doing so, they also left an inheritance to this radio ministry and to Doers of the Word Church. And that's two fine, wonderful ladies, Carla Haas and Annie Hall. And they did this a couple of years back. But I just felt like just giving them a heads up because they've been in heaven for a while. Anyhow, John, we need to really start off in prayer and ask all the folks out there tonight to pray with us because you know how the enemy attacks. I mean, one of the things that, and I can absolutely say that in over 50 years, we haven't had one boring day. And just in just a little more than 6 weeks here, I had two tornadoes come through my yard. Believe it or not, John, there are people that have lived out there without ever having one tornado come through the yard. And but I had two of them in less than 2 months. And then, just by a hair, by God's grace, I had a flood diverted. It got right up to the level of spilling over, and it stopped. It stopped. And so that, I know, was a miracle from Almighty God. So I want to just thank the good Lord for that. But let's pray tonight and get the folks out there with us because it is Friday night. And you know how the things that have happened. Last week, we did good. But you've had it. Do you ever have those times where you can just feel evil lurking by?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah. You're the only one out here
Absolutely.
With me.
Well, that's true. I didn't really realize that. I'll tell you where I really felt it, at the abortion center.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the place of evil where they sacrificed children, where Democrats sacrificed children to their god of greed. So,
but yes, Pastor, you could. There was an evil aura around it.
Yeah. Yep, you're not kidding about that. I know many years before, 45 years, I spent on those streets like you have in front of those abortion mills. We saved many babies. We preached the gospel. And we had a lot of excitement there, too. How many times did they try to kill us out there? But God intervened. And there's nothing can happen to us until he allows it. And when he allows it, that's the time we go home, right?
And absolutely. So we have to be fearless.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. But let's pray. And I'm going to ask all the folks out there to join with us and help us. Because we have a situation. Our phone system has crashed. And they're in the process of replacing the entire system. Next week is Pledge Week. And without the new phone system, folks, we're dead in the water on Pledge Week. We have to have those phones in on Pledge Week. And so I'm going to pray and ask all you folks out there to help us. We've been here, and I can honestly say, going on 51 years now, we have never, ever compromised. Never once have we given less than our very best in this ministry, and we have never compromised, never bowed down, never stood down to the enemy. We've always stood our ground and never backed up. And so in all of that time, and we paid a price for it. I mean, they've come after us in every way you can imagine, physically, emotionally, tried to kill us, but we're still here and we're still going at it. And so if you would join with us pray, there's much power in prayer. And the more power, the more people that are praying, the more power. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God. Lord, I would ask, just as I'm asking, Father, all those folks out there to stand with us, I'm asking you to stand with them, with each and every single one of them, Lord, that are praying here with us tonight. I'm asking you to stand with them, too, in their time of need. And, Lord, I'm just asking, too, that this is Friday night, and Lord, that you, whatever enemies of the light, whatever the darkness that comes against us tonight, Father God, Lord, that you would disperse it. And I'm praying, Father God, Lord, too, that you keep us on the air, Lord God. And Lord, I'm praying, too, that we're able to meet our financial needs as we need to. And we thank you and we praise you for more blessings than we could ever count. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so,
amen.
Let's start tonight, John. In Ephesians chapter 2. And here we start in verse 1. Whenever you're there, let me know.
I'm ready.
Okay. In verse 1. Now this is interesting because a lot of times we don't think about this, but the very first word of verse 1, and. You know what that word and does, that one word. What it does, it ties this statement here with all the previous statement we've read in chapter 1. That Christ was raised, Christ was exalted, and all. So, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So what do you think that means, quickened? He quickened us, it means to what? It means the same as race.
To give life, Pastor Ernie, to bring to life.
Yep. Wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So let's start with the course of this world. How would you today compare that today with the course that what the worldliness out there today? What would you?
The world system, Pastor Ernie. It's the world system. That all that's out there: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
And so, here I was just reading some of these apostate preachers that were saying. Well, one of them was Rick Warren. We'll talk about that. Rick Warren. Remember Rick Warren and the Chrislam? But they were saying how they were asked the question, if you go to hell, will you go to hell for committing the sins of sodomy? They didn't phrase it that way. They said, for being gay, will you go to hell for living as a gay man? Unrepentant. And of course Rick Warren's answer was no. What do you think of that?
Well, we got to go by the scriptures, Pastor Ernie, and of course we look at Romans chapter 1 is the sort of chapter about that, but also in what is it, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Pastor Ernie, where and it says, all that do these will not inherit the kingdom of God.
1 Corinthians 6 deals with we will be judging, deals with us judging angels and judging everything. But you're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with, I think, verse 14 through 18.
Okay.
And all the, yeah. Oh, you know what? No, you're right. At the end of that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, yeah. That's, I think, starting with verse 8, yeah. You know, you're right.
And it says, all that do these things. So, Pastor Ernie, here's a question. How come homosexuality gets a pass with these, I don't know, these preachers there that are so soft on it? I mean, are they soft on adultery? And it talks about murderers, but right in that list of sins that'll not inherit the kingdom of God is homosexuality, and they want to give it a pass. It's like a special sin. Have you noticed that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, you know they interviewed that pastor that's the Hillsong. Have you ever heard of the Hillsong Church?
Yes.
And so he was on PU The View. Where you have those very, very nasty old women, unclean old women, what they call that program, The View. And, of course, they asked him, you're a Bible teacher. Does your church condemn women for having abortions? In other words, and he says, well, it all depends on who the woman is and the circumstances. In other words, the man, that pastor, or I guess he's the former pastor now, he lied. He sat there and he lied. And why do they do these things? You know, because God's word, the Bible, is so very clear, John. It is so, abortion is a horrible sin. It's a horrible sin. He tells you very, very clearly that for you to destroy the image of God or transgress God's dominion, you deserve first to die. And if you're unrepentant, you deserve to burn in hell. I mean, it doesn't stutter. It's very clear. And yet these pastors will dance around that, and because why? Well, they're not saved. You see, if they were saved, they'd be bold as lions, and they would be telling the truth. But they're not. And the vast majority of them, John, the vast majority of them in the pulpit today are not saved at all. They're not real churches, John. You know it as well as I do.
No, I know as well as you do, but why is homosexuality a special sin, Pastor Ernie? Why? I the verse here is 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And then now the way of saying homosexuality, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor the thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Well,
all those other sins they may say is wrong and bad and all this, but when it comes to homosexuality, there's something special about it to these people.
Well, first of all, many of those are practicing that sin. The last verse in Romans chapter 1, the very last verse in Romans chapter 1, kind of explains that. And many of those practice that sin in the pulpit, okay? Especially with what is called United Church of Christ, okay? They're loaded with lesbians and sodomites, okay? And so what do? You know, you have the five worst versions of Scripture, many of those, they don't condemn. They really don't condemn the sin of sodomy. They have some of those today that actually tell you that at Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not for the sin of sodomy, but for the sin of inhospitality. And so they've taken God's word and they've turned it and they've twisted it and they've spun it and they've perverted it, okay? And so many of those have done it from the pulpits. You have a tremendous, tremendous dearth of courage from the pulpits in these churches. And I think, John, it started back, I think, right about in the 1960s, in the early 1960s, is when I think, in my opinion, is when this huge lack of courage started emerging from the pulpits. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. With the whole revolution that kind of hit then, Pastor Ernie. You know, it was like the dress changed, the music changed. Remember, birth control came in, Pastor Ernie, at that time too.
Yeah,
the divorce rate skyrocketed. Abortion became legal. I mean, huge things happened in the 60s, Pastor Ernie. Huge.
The government of the United States of America, the judicial and the government, they turned their back on God. Unfortunately, those in a pulpit whose responsibility was, to bring them to task, failed. They failed God over and over. But here, he goes and he says, where he talks about where the prince and the power of the air. Now, we know the prince of the power of the air is Satan ruling a vast, vast, vast multitude of fallen angels. And you had spiritual wickedness in high places, which means in heavenly places, opposing God and opposing God's people. And so then he says, go ahead in verse 3.
Among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, that's really powerful. That whole section there in Ephesians is powerful.
Well, you're right. That word there, conversation, archaic, that's the old English expression for what, like you said, a way of life, huh?
Yeah. I use the word lifestyle for that.
And so then it goes on again, and among whom all, we all had our, what, when it says we all had our, he's talking about every one of us. We were all saved the same way, but before we were saved, we were all lost, huh?
Yeah, we were all under the power of sin and the penalty of it.
And so there was never anyone who was sinless besides the Lord Jesus himself, huh?
Right, and that's why he could be the Savior. He didn't need a Savior because he was not under the penalty of sin. He never committed sin. One sin, so he could be the Savior. Everybody that sins needed to save you from the penalty of sin. Everyone.
And so, here, and the good news is only sinners can be saved, huh? And so, yeah. But now there was I'm having one of my, those senior moments, but there was a pastor, a preacher. He was a preacher, and he had two sons, and they had a big radio empire some years ago. And he and I would kind of go at it from time to time on the air. And I can't remember his name, even though, but he spoke with kind of an English accent. He had like an English accent. And he would say that he never sins. He would say that he never sins.
You know what First John says about that?
Yeah, yeah, I do. And I know what First John. What does John McTernan say about that?
No, we're all sinned. We've all sinned. First John 1 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us."
Yep. And I would read that to him, and we would go back and forth. And
you know where was his show from? Where was he from, Pastor?
I'm trying to remember. It was some place there up here in the Northeast, the New England type area, in that area there. But he broadcast all over. He passed away. Boy, his sons took over. In fact, they wanted me to be on their network. But it was an interesting thing too, because he had a very negative view of women. And I'm trying to remember. I know we had some real problems. He believed that women were lesser people, that they weren't in their humanity. They were less than men. Okay, when you know the Bible teaches the natural order of things. The man is the head of the house and the head of the wife, and the parents are the head of the children. But and that's the order that God gives us. But in our humanity, the man, the woman, and the child are all equal in their humanity, just like with the Trinity. In the Trinity, the Father gives the marching orders, the Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power. But in their divinity, they're all equal in their divinity, okay, in their holiness. So, and that's one of the argue. And this guy wanted to argue that women were, and children were lesser people, if you will. Okay, and he came up with some really good stuff. I tell you, he was slick in a sense, where he would set you up, and in a way to try to get you to agree with him. Okay, and so. Of course, I never did, but I got to give him credit. He has some ways with words. And so he goes ahead and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." You know, it's that was, I just remember what Rick Warren had said. He said that you won't go to hell for the sin of sodomy. You go to hell because you rejected the grace of God, not for unrepented sins. So if there's no repentance, is there any forgiveness? Is repentance required for forgiveness?
Well, Pastor Ernie, when the Lord was giving the gospel before his ascension, he said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance it's a requirement. I mean, how can you, how can you go to be with the Lord and not repent of sin? You have to.
So, you know who you asked about that? The Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement, they preach that repentance is not necessary for salvation.
Pastor Ernie, I remember probably it was the group that you were talking about, and this man was arguing with me, saying that repentance is works. That was his excuse.
Yeah, that's what they say. They'll tell you that the grace of God, salvation, is a gift, and so there's no repentance necessary. But the very first thing Jesus came preaching was to repent or perish.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
But how many other times during the Gospels did he say repent or perish?
A lot of times, and even into the book of Acts, there's a lot of repentance preached.
Repentance is absolutely necessary for forgiveness. And we'll be right back after.
Because you have to give up the sin, Pastor Ernie, when you come to Christ.
Very good. We'll be right back after this.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Aliyabow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got the leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Absolutely, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. And that's got the Democrats shaking in their boots already. Folks, got to tell you this. Every now and then, John, you run across someone who, a local business who gives exceptional service, and we have some of those in our area, and they're very good people, and they deserve a heads up. And I know this program was all over the country, but for the folks in the Northeast Ohio, especially the Geauga County and Lake County area, there's a business called the Middlefield Sign Company, and that's out there in Amish country. But there's a fellow who runs it, Jacob Lashes, and he's very, very, he works with us. His dad was a good friend of mine, and his dad died at an early age. His dad died, but he raised Jacob right, and here they give you, really give you your money's worth. Good work, on-time work, and very pro-life, very pro-Christian. And Jacob is very active. He helps us in the pro-life movement. He comes out, they set up the booth and everything in the big fair for us so we can save babies. And so I just wanted to say, he gets signs, indoor signs, outdoor signs, vehicle decals, banners, magnets, wide format printing, yard signs, stickers. And again, they do a great job. They've done helped us out a lot, come out and put up signs in the church and in the fair. So that's Middlefield Sign, and their phone number in Middlefield, Ohio. If you're looking for a sign, and not just that, but those little magnet bumper stickers, I have those on my car. It tells you, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? And I got them big. And boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people see those, and they'll come up to talk to me. There's a great witnessing tool. But anyhow, he's got all of those, and those magnetic bumper stickers are tremendous. But anyhow, folks, the phone number there for Middlefield Sign is 440-632-0708. That's 440-632-0708. If you need a good sign, that's the place to go. Anyhow, guess who I saw on television today, John? And it wasn't one of your famous people, Kamala Harris. Kamala, I'm pretty sure she was drunk. She was trying to sing, and she was referring to President Trump as a gangster. And you know, you can tell, you know, when people, when they start feeling good or just, you know, hitting that the point before they are pass out drunk. But this, I'm sure that she was drunk, and this was like 11 o'clock in the morning. But anyhow, we have a clip about Kamala and the DOJ. So take her away there, Handy.
About 5 or 6 California DOJ agents started stomping through my apartment. Some of them were armed with AR-15s. Some of them had canine dogs with them. Kamala Harris is the single greatest threat to First Amendment civil liberties that our country has ever seen. April 5th, 2016. This is an idyllic Southern California spring day. As I'm walking out to take the kitchen garbage out, I turn around the corner and pass a big white windowless van. All of a sudden, the door swings open and this tall, uniformed guy steps out and he has a piece of paper in his hands and he says, "Are you David Dalyden?" And he says, "I'm with the California Department of Justice. We have a search warrant for your home." And he hands me the warrant. And I think to myself, oh gosh, you know, what's going to happen next? So about 5 or 6 California DOJ agents started stomping through my apartment. The other 5 of them standing on the lawn outside. Some of them were armed with AR-15s. Some of them had canine dogs with them. They had come for me. In 2013, I began and orchestrated an almost 3-year-long, very in-depth, comprehensive investigative journalism study about the harvesting and trafficking of body parts from late-term abortions. There's multiple violations and multiple issues that you very quickly start to learn about when you look into it. There's the basic problem of selling body parts, where you're basically creating a system, creating transactions, creating business relationships that incentivize the objectification and the destruction of human beings in order to keep the business going. So for about 30 months, we went undercover with the explicit purpose of partnering with some of the biggest Planned Parenthood abortion clinics in the country to send their technicians in, harvest body parts from the abortions that were being done that day, and then package up the parts and ship them off to different customers all around the country, sometimes around the world. In July of 2015, we began to release the undercover video series. I had been hoping that this was something that would, you know, that would maybe generate 100,000 views or something. Instead, what happened was even bigger than I could have imagined. Within less than a week, we had close to 3 million views on YouTube of the first video, and multiple congressional committees announcing that they were launching federal investigations of Planned Parenthood's involvement in fetal trafficking and fetal experimentation. The truth got out there, and the words of Planned Parenthood's own leadership describing their organization's participation in these activities went viral and was being publicized for the whole world to see. Looking back on it from the information that we know now, you know, I now know what was going on was that Kamala Harris, at the explicit instruction of Planned Parenthood, had targeted me and me alone among all undercover video news gatherers in the state of California to enforce the California video recording law against me and to punish me for speaking the truth about her powerful campaign donors at Planned Parenthood. What we've come to learn in the years since, just 2 weeks before serving the search warrant on my home, Kamala Harris had a secret meeting in Los Angeles with several top-level executives of Planned Parenthood in California. We then found out from the California DOJ investigator reports that Planned Parenthood's top lawyer in California had specifically instructed the California DOJ agents that Planned Parenthood wanted the video equipment and the computers that I was using to publish the videos to be seized, in order to shut me up, in order to prevent me from continuing to publish the truth about Planned Parenthood's involvement in fetal trafficking, and in order to punish me for speaking out with a message that was disfavored by Planned Parenthood and by Kamala Harris in the state of California. I think what people have to understand about organizations like Planned Parenthood and about their political backers like Kamala Harris is that they're shameless, and they will do whatever they have to do in order to promote their agenda. They'll say whatever they have to say, and they are not afraid to use every bit of power at their disposal to force their agenda through. Kamala Harris is the single greatest threat to First Amendment civil liberties that our country has ever seen. If Kamala Harris is elected to be a heartbeat away from the highest office in the United States of America, you will have someone in the White House who has a radical contempt and disrespect for First Amendment civil liberties, someone who believes that she's entitled to use the powers of her office in order to punish the viewpoints of citizens who disagree.
One of the things that she was doing, John, was to remember when you had Antifa, where they were literally hitting elderly people in the heads with bricks, shooting former police officers, killing people, and she was getting these people out. Remember the Summer of Love?
Yeah, you're talking about, what was that,
2020? Yeah. Well, no, the Summer of Love, yeah, I think it was 20, well, if we go back, yeah, it must have been 2020. I'm trying to remember.
That guy, George Floyd, was it George Floyd?
George, yeah, it was George Floyd, that's when it all started. With
yeah,
George Floyd.
20.
Yeah. And so, but they were burning cities down there in Oregon and what in the state of Washington. I mean, they're just, you know, in Chicago. And anyhow, she was bailing out these people that were these rioters, these communists, these thugs, these murderers, these killers. She was making sure they got bailed out so they could go back out there and continue. That was Kamala. That was Kamala. And you talk about it. And do you remember when she, the very first campaign stop that she had when she ran for president, she started her campaign at Planned Predators, at a plant there in California. That's where she started her campaign. And the Planned Parenthood is the most wicked, the most evil, the most ungodly, the creeping, crawling purveyor of death on planet Earth. They've killed more people than any army on Earth. They're wicked. There's nothing about Planned Parenthood that they don't do. They'll sell baby body parts. Those women there are as wicked gets. I mean, it doesn't get any. There's witchcraft, all kinds of witchcraft. Here, they had these human traffickers, these illegals that came over here, trafficking these young girls, these teenage girls in prostitution. When they would get pregnant, they would go to Planned Predators, and the Planned Predators would abort those babies. And those whores at Planned Predators, they worked right along with the human traffickers. That's how evil they are. They're as evil as evil gets. So what do you think of that?
Well, just look at the people at work there. Look at the abortionists. And the Planned Parenthood abortionists there in York, Pennsylvania, and you know, you were helping me by announcing it over the airwaves. What was going on there?
Yeah,
you had the whole city, the county and the city was all backing Planned Parenthood. Isn't that amazing? The mayor, district attorney, the police.
They were whoring themselves. They all went a whoring. Unbelievable, the corruption. No honor at all.
No.
Totally.
No.
Yeah.
No. And then the police, they had no conscience, and they would lie. It was astonishing. You know, Pastor Ernie, I know that there are corrupt cops, but to actually be there and hear them. You know, I knew what happened, and there's the police perjuring themselves in court to protect Planned Parenthood. So that's the depth that this corruption can take them, Pastor Ernie. And we actually had the district attorney, Stanley Rebert was his name. He's probably passed on by now. But he actually would come and sit in the courtroom and watch the attempted conviction of our people. The district attorney himself would. That's how ingrained Planned Parenthood was in York County, Pennsylvania.
They bought them. They were bought and paid for, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah.
I did freedom of information request, and the police were getting $37.50 an hour to come there. They were off duty, but they came with the police car, full uniform, carrying the gun, and working for Planned Parenthood for $37.50 an hour.
I wish, you know, if they did that up here, I think I'd have making some of those magnetic signs to put on the side of the cars, and instead of police department, you know, I would have put on their butt whores. You know, no integrity, no honesty, no decency. We sell ourselves cheap here. And so that's, you know.
Pastor Ernie, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but we were winning and not in the local court, in the Court of Appeals, and when we appealed it. As soon as we got outside of York, the city of York, we would win the cases. So the mayor told the chief of police to meet with me. So we set up a meeting, and I went in there, and I was talking to the top lieutenant and the chief of police, the top captain and the chief of police. They actually, Pastor Ernie, I'm not making this up, they actually bragged to me that they talked to the judge and the judge cooperated with them, basically framed us. They actually told me in my presence. They told me it.
Yeah. Well, that's how
arrogant they were. That's how they had like tied up the city there. And actually the county, when you look at the district attorney, county attorney also. So, but yeah, bold, completely bold, bragging about going to the judge to run the troublemakers out, that we weren't from York, and they wanted the troublemakers run out of York.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Well, praise God for people like you to stand up to them. So, anyhow... I want to jump over here for real quickly. Remember, we had talked about Rick Warren, and the reason was, if you remember, right around the year 2000, go back about 2000, when he came out with his purpose-driven church book, and I remember seeing that book. Somebody brought one, and I couldn't believe. People cannot possibly be this stupid. I mean. You cannot possibly be this biblically illiterate here, you know. And here he was going on Fox News and America's Pastor. Remember they were saying he's America's Pastor. And I'm looking at
it vividly.
And he had gotten, did you know that on a worldwide basis, he had gotten about 400,000 pastors involved. He shipped his book out. And here, Steve Doocy on Fox News was saying, the gospel of Rick Warren, the gospel of Rick Warren, no longer was it, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, it was the gospel of Rick Warren out there. And, of course, you know, again, on Fox News, they've had a number of people on there that may have good intentions but are biblically illiterate. They've got no idea what the Bible actually teaches. And you know that by what they say. But anyhow, here his churches, he followed up. He had five purposes that he proposed in his purpose-driven church. And these were the seeker-sensitive. They were, one was no hymns, instead of singing hymns, you didn't sing any hymns. You had rock bands. He's to bring rock bands in. No preaching against sin. People knowing that there was no preaching against sin. It just offended people, okay? Marketing, you have marketing. You marketed Jesus. You did that in conferences, and you did it in seminars. For people... that they didn't want to go along with it because he had these big conferences there in Saddleback, and some churches from around here, their pastors were told, do not, when you go back, do not tell your congregations what we're doing here today, okay? But he was actually telling them, look, he had some things where he... The statements that he made in the five-point plan was that, I'm trying to remember, oh yeah, they called secret meetings with like-minded New Age members of the church, vote all, and they did that to some churches right here. This took place. One of the ladies I know told me her pastor, and I knew him, he went to a seminar, a conference with Rick Warren in Saddleback. I said, you guys better get ready. You get ready then, because bad things are going to happen. Well, he had come back. I said, listen, now this, she was one of the founders of the church. And I said, what they're doing there is they're training people to come in and have secret meetings and then vote the founding members of the church out. Vote them out, and they can all do this legally, and then encourage them to leave. And you had to play hardball with them. And so what he said was, there's no growth. There's no growth without change, and there's no change without pain. You have to, in order to bring in new people, unchurched Harry, to get unchurched Harry in, you can't beat him over the head with the Bible. You've got to conform the church to the world, and then Harry will come in. Well, let me ask you a question, John. Why would Harry want to come in? He's already got all that out there in the world right now.
Well, that's really true, Pastor Ernie. So you have to make it some sort of like a club. You know, remember the old Lions Club era, the Moose Club and all that years ago, Pastor Ernie? So they had to make it more social, I guess, so people would want to come in to have friendships in it.
Yeah. Well, here in the United States, over 4,000 churches split because of this. They split the churches and they collapsed. Many of those churches shut down. And they collapsed, they broke apart.
Pardon? Let me ask you a question. Was he involved working with the government and with the churches and the government?
Yeah, he was involved working with Barack Hussein Obama. And
That's what I thought, Pastor Ernie.
And so, yeah.
You see, I didn't know anything about him because I watched Fox News a little, and he seemed to be on it regularly.
Oh, yeah.
And so he sounded good to me just hearing him, you know, 5 minutes on Fox News, whatever it was. But then I found out that he was, you mentioned Chrislam. And what he did was he had Muslim imams come to his church and offer prayers and speaking from the podium. And once I heard that, that was it. I knew that there was something, you know, this was really false.
Well, he was trying to incorporate and marry the teachings of Christ with Allah, the teachings of, you know, Allah, okay? And, you know, this is lunacy. Now, I went to, there was a pastor's conference they had. Nothing big, just, you know, it was about a dozen pastors. And I had gone in there, and I can't even remember for sure what the top, but when I got there, they had these purpose-driven church books. I said, have you guys lost your mind? Have you read any of these books there? And they said, they were offended. They said, the first question I was asked was, well, if God's not in it, why is it prospering? Why is it spreading? I said, I don't know. Ask Hugh Hefner. Why does Playboy prosper, right? You know, and here, these guys were not thinking. Well, we exposed it. I went on a radio, and I really, really went after him. Do you know who it was that we went on the radio with me? Noah Hutchins. You remember Noah Hutchins?
Oh, sure, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, of course I know. Remember Noah.
Yeah, well, Noah, in fact, he actually was on it before me. He was actually on this, and when I contacted him, he said, yeah, he said, we're on top of this. Let's take it. And we took it to the airwaves, and we exposed it. Because guess what? They moved into his church, into the very church he was attending. That crept into there. And so here, it was just unbelievable. And so we're coming up to, how many seconds do we have? Yeah, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, boy, we have a whole lot to cover tonight. So we're going to have to do some lightning rounds, I think, tonight, John. So we'll be back right after.
Yeah, I got some very important stuff to share.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
You've said it before. This will only take a second. Just a quick glance. A fast reply. But on the road, seconds don't wait for you. They decide everything. Who stops, who doesn't, who makes it home. So next time your phone lights up, ask yourself, is this distraction worth a ticket or even a life? Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.